KOMO Seattle.
KOMO FM Oakville.
20 minutes of nonstop news starts now.
ABC News is next, and then it's been confirmed. I'm Brian Calvert, and the Northwest now has its first case of that new COVID variant.
Also on the way,
revival of Scoop and Maggie. I'm Corwin Hake, Washington's new power duo in the U.S. Senate.
And a Seattle police officer refusing to wear a mask is in some trouble.
From ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. 21,500 National Guard members are in Washington, D.C. 2 days before the inauguration. ABC's Alex Stone is there and says there aren't many other people around some city landmarks.
For blocks around the White House here, every intersection, they've got dump trucks parked to block anybody from trying to ram their way in. The gates are now closed. Over the weekend, there were a lot of areas where people could still walk. Those have now closed, but the streets are quiet. There are a few people here and there kind of mingling about, taking pictures of all the security, but that's about it.
Unprecedented security levels expected for the inauguration, which will come exactly 2 weeks after a violent mob stormed the U.S. Capitol. The FBI is now investigating whether a Pennsylvania woman planned to steal the computer belonging to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and try to sell it to Russia. More from ABC's Aaron Katursky.
Riley June Williams was allegedly seen on video during the Capitol riot, and a witness later told the FBI Williams had taken a laptop or hard drive from Speaker Pelosi's office and meant to sell it to Russia. The sale fell through, the witness said, but Williams still had the device or destroyed it. Court records said the matter remains under investigation.
FBI said it appears Williams has fled, changed her phone number, and deleted her social media accounts. 2 days before I'll become the 46th president, Joe Biden and incoming First Lady Dr. Jill Biden volunteered at a Philadelphia food pantry, part of a National Day of Service event honoring Martin Luther King Day. Civil rights pioneers' fight for equality for black people continues. The coronavirus pandemic has exposed disparities among different ethnic groups. Accepting an award from the National Action Network, Dr. Anthony Fauci said,
"In accepting this award, I want to vow that I will continue to do everything I can within the context of my profession to make sure we alleviate those discrepancies in health."
The U.S. approaching 400,000 deaths from the coronavirus. You're listening to ABC News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. KOMO Midday.
Clouds and some sun breaks. 45 degrees in downtown Seattle. It's 11:02 on this Monday morning. I'm Tom Hutler with our top stories from the KOMO 24/7 News Center. The State Health Department reporting another 1,817 new cases of COVID-19 yesterday after not reporting numbers Saturday due to a technical glitch. The agency warns this may not be the full count and that numbers won't be reported today due to the holiday. That means the next total we see Tuesday afternoon could be a very large number. The new strain of COVID that's rampaging through the United Kingdom has indeed arrived here. KOMO's Ryan Calvert has more on one of the first confirmed cases.
Oregon health officials alerted us over the weekend. A staff member at the University of Portland has tested positive for this new COVID strain.
With all that is unknown still about this particular strain, it's always a concern.
Michael Llewellyn is a spokesperson for the school and has not confirmed where this man contracted the virus. Experts are pretty certain the current vaccine will work against the new strain, but the problem, most tests won't be able to detect it.
It's probably been circulating in the U.S. for much longer than we knew.
Dr. Ken Steadman says this strain could be all over Oregon and Washington, but current testing won't find it, meaning people who have it are likely getting false negatives, then passing the virus on to others before they eventually get really sick. Brian Calvert, KOMO News.
An emergency room nurse in Seattle is accusing a Seattle police officer of refusing to wear a mask inside her hospital when asked to do so. The director of Seattle's Office of Police Accountability says the matter is being investigated and findings will be issued on a, quote, expedited timeline. The OPA has not named the officer or the hospital where the alleged incident took place. And a Seattle police officer fired for referring to a black suspect as Kunta Kinte. That name comes from the movie and the TV series and the novel Roots about slavery. The Seattle Times reports the unnamed officer admitted using the term in talking with other officers. The Office of Professional Accountability concluded the behavior violated SPD's policy of bias-free policing. And part of downtown Seattle was shut down Saturday afternoon after a man told police he had a bomb inside his truck right outside the FBI's Seattle headquarters.
Just after 1 o'clock, officials say a 34-year-old man intentionally set his own car on fire to get the attention of the police. Then when fire and police crews arrived, he told them he had a bomb in his truck. Police shut down downtown Seattle as they investigated, but found no bomb and towed away the truck.
Authorities are trying to figure out why the man made the threat in the first place, but the head of Seattle's FBI field office says for now all is calm in Washington ahead of Inauguration Day. Coming up,
state lawmakers have introduced several measures aimed at making up for some of the lost learning because of the pandemic. I'm Carlene Johnson.
Also,
I'm Frank Lindsay. More than two dozen Hanford contract workers are about to lose their jobs.
Como News Time 11:04, traffic every 10 minutes on the 4s, and from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center, here's Tammy Bennett.
We have a fresh crash in the north end on northbound 5 at US 2. It is partially blocking the ramp. And in Lake City, traffic lights still malfunctioning on 522 at North Gateway. They're flashing red, so treat those as a four-way stop. Construction has one open lane on Highway 7 near Mineral Road with traffic being flagged through. Road work is compromising eastbound Highway 12 near Monte Brady Road, westbound 90 at State Route 900, and eastbound 90 at Westlake Sammamish Parkway. Some road work closes the right lane in either of those situations. Your next report, 11:14. Tammy Bennett for Como News.
And your forecast, meteorologist Kristen Clark.
So far this January has been trending warmer than normal, but that's about to change here the next couple of days as a cool down takes place later on this week. By this weekend, high temperatures could stay in the 30s in a few spots. And then as moisture begins to move into this colder air on Sunday, expecting a rain-snow mix for the lowlands. Now, not a significant amount of snow, but maybe an inch or two of slush accumulating as the rain-snow mix could continue Monday and Tuesday of next week. It bears some watching. And the Como Weather Center, meteorologist Kristen Clark.
Broken clouds, 45 degrees in downtown Seattle. It's 11:06 and 20 minutes of nonstop news continues. Renton police trying to find the person who rammed one of their patrol cars yesterday morning.
Authorities say the person ran from the scene. They called out a canine unit to search the area near South 2nd and Main Avenue, but officers did not find the driver. A passenger in the car stayed at the scene, but the patrol officer in the wreck squad car was taken to the hospital, but should be okay.
Como's Ryan Yamamoto. Republican U.S. Representative Kathy McMorris Rodgers is urging President Trump to put aside his differences with Governor Inslee and help Washington wildfire victims. In a letter to the president last month obtained by the Spokesman Review, McMorris Rodgers writes, "Despite our governor's bad faith personal vendetta against your administration, people in my district need support." She adds, quote, "I implore you to move forward in providing aid to those who've been impacted by devastating wildfires in our region." Not since the days of Warren Magnuson and Henry Jackson has the state of Washington fielded such a powerful pair of U.S. senators. Como's Corwin Hake reports the new Democratic majority could reap benefits for our state.
The majority means, among other things, longtime Democratic Senators Patty Murray and Maria Cantwell rise to leadership positions within powerful committees. Murray will chair the Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions, where she could be instrumental in crafting COVID-19 recovery policy.
It is really clear to me that we have more work to do before we can safely get back to work and school and some semblance of normal life in our country.
Cantwell rises to chair of the Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee. As ranking member there, she investigated federal certification failings that contributed to the 737 MAX disasters.
We need an independent FAA.
Longtime Washingtonians recall the senatorial power duo of Magnuson and Jackson, whose influence from the 1950s to 1980s meant billions of federal dollars pouring into our state. Corwin Hake, Como News.
School systems across the nation were understandably overwhelmed and under-equipped to respond when COVID-19 began rapidly spreading in the spring. But here we are nearly a year later, and most students are still not getting any classroom instruction. Como's Colleen Johnson reports the impact on lost learning and emotional well-being is undeniable.
A lot of districts have been testing students this month. Programs like iReady and iMath to gauge where they are based on the start of the year or this time last year. In most cases, student comprehension is down. Lost learning in math, on average, expected to be 6 to 9 months behind by the end of the year. And given that schools are the hub for supports such as mental health counseling and mandatory reporting for abuse, young people are not getting their needs met that way either. The school counselor from Spokane supports a bill in Olympia to ensure counselors spend the vast majority of their day meeting with students instead of being reassigned to other duties.
During this time of unrest throughout our nation, Teachers need to know that their students will have access to direct services with their school counselors to help them address the mental health needs and the trauma our students are experiencing.
And while enrollment is down in just about every grade, a recent NPR survey of more than 60 districts and 20 states found that kindergarten enrollment is down an average of 16% this year. Carlene Johnson, Como News.
Hanford Contractor Mission Support Alliance plans to lay off 30 workers at its Department of Energy Department of Energy contract expires.
The layoffs are set for Thursday, the last full business day before the expiring contract held by Mission Support Alliance transitions to a new 10-year contract awarded to Hanford Mission Integration Solutions. Many employees at Hanford work 10-hour shifts Monday through Thursdays. Typically, most employees transition to new contractors at Hanford, with the new contractor bringing in new management. Mission Support Alliance employed just over 1,900 workers at the end of September. The layoff announcement was posted online by the Washington Employment Security Department. Frank Lindsay, Como News.
Como News time 11:10, and to the Beacon Plumbing Sports Desk, the Kansas City Chiefs moving into the NFL playoffs for the third NFL championship game for the third year in a row. After their 22-17 win over Cleveland, the Chiefs now will be hosting Buffalo Sunday. Tom Brady will try to advance to his 10th Super Bowl appearance in a showdown with the Packers All-Pro quarterback Aaron Rodgers next week, after Brady led the Buccaneers to a 30-20 win over Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints in the divisional playoffs. He wanted to give credit to the Bucs defense.
Defense was incredible all game. The turnovers were huge. Last time we played them, we lost a turnover, minus three. Today was plus four. You're not going to lose many games when you're plus four. So just a great effort. They came up huge.
And they will be facing the Packers Sunday. The Los Angeles Rams have lost their defensive coordinator, Brandon Staley. He'll become the next head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. And longtime Sounders staffer and a former player here and a high school player of the year in high school, Chris Henderson, is leaving the Sounders for a similar post as officer of sporting, chief soccer officer and sporting director for Inter Miami CF. We check sports at 10:40 past each hour. Traffic and weather on the way. Como News time 11:11. As the U.S. approaches 400,000 COVID-19 deaths, there is some hope on the horizon.
Mass vaccination sites popping up across the country, from Florida's Hard Rock Stadium to New York City Field, even Disneyland.
All those can be put in place, but they're useless unless they have something to administer.
With a crippled rollout plan, appointments are overbooked, and many sites say they'll quickly run out of doses. Thousands of Americans just can't seem to get that prize shot in the arm.
It seems like it's very disorganized. What's the point of making an appointment if you're going to stand here 3 or 4 hours to get in, and then you might not even get it?
In Houston, officials weighing a choice between maximizing single-day vaccinations or conserving the supply.
I said, Mayor, if we do 5,000, that means we're not going to have enough for the next week. But he insisted that we get out as much vaccine as we could.
With no federal stockpile, Pfizer and Moderna both shipping out about 2 million doses per week. The government pushing for at least 50 million to be distributed by the end of January. But there's a lot of ground to make up. So far, only about 31 million have gone out. With the turn of a new administration just days away, Biden's team promising to speed up the rollout.
We have looked carefully, and we are confident that we have enough vaccine for the 100 million doses over the next 100 days. That is what the president-elect has promised. It will be a hefty lift, but we have it in us to do that.
The everyday toll weighing on American lives. In Southern California, the latest epicenter of the pandemic, Orange County's fourth field hospital opening today. 52 extra beds for COVID patients are now available at St. Jude Medical Center. The fight against the virus, nowhere near over.
I can only imagine every day, if not every hour, there's a different concern at the top of your list. At this point in the pandemic, what's keeping you up at night?
Vaccine rolling out fast enough and people not getting ahead of it.
Now, Joe Biden has this plan of delivering 100 million vaccine doses in his first 100 days of his presidency. And Dr. Anthony Fauci says that is absolutely doable. Keep in mind, there are two more vaccines in the works from AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson, and those could be presented to regulators for approval in a matter of weeks.
And once again, reporting that is ABC's Kaylee Hartung, a Texas man arrested in connection with a Capitol insurrection.
Guy Reffitt associates himself with the militia extremist group Texas Freedom Force and appears to have been pepper sprayed on Capitol grounds. pounds. When he returned home to Texas, court records said Reffitt told his family members he had gone to Washington and stormed the Capitol. He also allegedly threatened the lives of his son and daughter if they said anything, telling them, if you turn me in, you're a traitor, and you know what happens to traitors. Traitors get shot. Reffitt was arrested by the FBI on charges of unlawful entry and obstruction. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Washington.
And at 11:14, we'll check your traffic and weather as we do every 10 minutes on the fours. And then ABC's Inez De La Cotera joins us from Washington as at least five members of Congress have tested positive for the coronavirus. From the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center now, here once again is Tammy Bennett.
Well, now I'm getting a look at this wreck on Highway 2, the wreck that is supposedly from northbound 5. It's actually affecting southbound 5 traffic more than northbound, and it looks like as many as 7 or 8 vehicles may be involved. You're going to have to do a little slalom to get onto Highway 2 correctly. It's slowing things down quite a bit, and it is affecting a little bit of the northbound merge, but it's our only blocker at the moment. Keep in mind, too, that at Lake City Way and Northgate, we've got traffic lights malfunctioning. They're flashing red. So treat that intersection as a four-way stop. Your next report, 11:24. Tammy Bennett for Como News.
Partly sunny and a high near 50 today and tomorrow. And then we'll get some cooler temperatures, some clouds, and some rain coming in through the end of the week and into the weekend. Right now, 42 and partly sunny in Everett, partly sunny and 44 in Tacoma. And it's 46 at SeaTac Airport under partly sunny skies at 11:15.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The Northwest's only 24-hour news station. Como News 1000, FM 97.7.
Taylor Van Sice and Bill O'Neill are editors. I'm Tom Hutler with these stories we're following right now. The D.C. National Guard commanding general says no chances are being taken as they ready for the presidential inauguration Wednesday. Major General William Walker says about 21,000 guardsmen are on the ground in D.C. as of today, about triple the average for a presidential inauguration. The vice president-elect is officially resigning from the Senate. Kamala Harris turned in her resignation letter today to California Governor Gavin Newsom, who's already tapped California Secretary of State Alex Padilla to replace Harris for the rest of her term. Como News time, 11:16. More members of the House of Representatives announcing they've tested positive for COVID-19 after that riot on Capitol Hill just under 2 weeks ago. With more on this story, I'm joined by ABC's Inez De La Cotera in Washington, where there's a heavy security presence in anticipation of Wednesday's inauguration. Inez, tell us about these positive tests. Who has them and how serious are they?
Yes. I mean, in addition to the security concerns here in D.C., there's also now a COVID concern on Capitol Hill. We are now at 5 House members who have tested positive for COVID-19 in the aftermath of these January 6th riots, after having to, shelter in place indoors in rooms that have little ventilation, with other members who were reportedly not wearing face masks. And we saw images and videos coming out in the days after the riots of Republican House members not wearing face masks, even at one point in one video being offered face masks, declining to take those masks, and even at one point mocking the person who was offering up those face masks. So the first House member to test positive was Bonnie Watson of New Jersey, who pretty quickly pointed the finger at those Republican House members for not wearing a face mask. She is pretty, she's being pretty direct in blaming them for the surge here. We are now at, five House members, and there's a concern that more could come out and test positive in the coming days. We should point out that the members who tested positive, of course, will be in self-isolation. They will not be attending the inauguration. It's unclear at this point what other members who were maybe in those rooms will do. The House physician is urging people to get tested as much as possible and really keep an eye out on for their symptoms. But I don't believe there has been any guidance issued so far urging people to self-isolate.
Okay. Of course, one of those also is a representative from our state, Pramila Jayapal. Turning to the scene in the city, from what I've seen, it looks like it's basically on lockdown and that there's very little activity in advance of Wednesday's inauguration.
Yeah, it's been very quiet here. The city is basically, a fortress. It's basically shut down. The entire, the National Mall has been shut down through the Thursday after Inauguration Day. The White House area, Capitol Hill, of course, there's been an 8-foot-tall, non-scalable fence set up around the whole Capitol complex, around the White House as well. And there are, 25,000 National Guard troops here. Just patrolling the streets. It's a really eerie sight. I went for a walk, a couple walks over the weekend, and it's a strange sight to see the whole city shut down, roads blocked off, and just to see that the law enforcement presence, the armored vehicles parked here and there is really something.
Well, we're about 48 hours away from the inauguration, and stay safe. Thanks again for your reporting. ABC's Inez de la Quatera in Washington. Como News Time now, 11:19.
From ABC News, Tech Trends. General Motors used last week's Consumer Electronics Show to preview the Cadillac of flying vehicles. Ryan Zumalin is an editor at Edmunds.com. He says most of GM's CES presentation was focused on the company's battery tech.
It was very like, here's what we're going to do on the ground. Here's what you can expect very soon. And this flying Cadillac kind of appeared out of nowhere unexpectedly.
Company showing off a Cadillac-branded electric drone. The single-seat aircraft can take off and land vertically, but Zumalin says don't get your pilot's license just yet.
So far, at least, there's nothing real or tangible about these concepts.
He says the concept does signal GM's vision for the future of cars.
It's one of those moonshot things, I think, that GM puts in there to let people know they are thinking about the future.
As for when we could see a production version,
could be a matter of years. It's possible we never hear about it again.
With Tech Trends, Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Como News Time, 11:20. Checking your money news at 20 and 50 past each hour. It's the Propel Insurance Business Update.
If you're trying to buy a home, you'll likely need to make more than an average salary to afford the monthly payments. Adam Davis Solutions recently analyzed how affordable it is to be a homeowner across the country and found that owning a home is truly affordable in only 41% of counties nationwide. The largest metropolitan areas where owning a home is still affordable for the average household include Chicago, Houston, Philadelphia, Cleveland, and Tampa. The past year was a very challenging one for restaurants amid the coronavirus pandemic, and that's likely to continue to be the case for at least the first several months of this year. The parent company of Olive Garden, Longhorn Steakhouse, and Bahama Breeze, Darden Restaurants, says labor is one of the industry's many challenges. CEO Gene Lee says many workers left the sector during the pandemic and may not return. He's hopeful that the incoming Biden administration will make policy changes to help boost immigration to the U.S. to fill restaurants' ranks. That's your money now.
And in observance of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, the markets are closed today. Como News Time, 11:21.
Como News Radio Podcasts. From news to politics, health to fitness. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app and visit comonews.com/podcast for the full podcast lineup. Stay connected. Stay informed. Como News.